I'm on the go. I want to go home. I want to go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down now. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go home. I want to go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down now. I want to go.
I want to go.
I want to go. I want to go, yeah, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. Go.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street. Bring to you, yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah once again for allowing us to come before you to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even words of truth. The last couple days or nights, we've been dealing with marriage. And in dealing with marriage, the very root, the very foundation of marriage is who we are. So the first thing we dealt with is a helpmeet. What she was made for, what she was created to do, what she was formed for, and who she was formed and made and created for. It's no need to get into the various responsibilities that she has because she was designed for a purpose. And once a woman began to understand what she was made for, and what was that? To help. To be a helpmate, to aid. This is by very definition, it don't take a rocket scientist to understand responsibilities. It is to help. And who is she to help? Her husband. Her man. In whom she was made for. But now we will talk about the man. So tonight we will start off with the bottom line. What was man made for? Scripture says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And what purpose do that hold? What meaning do that have? And we want you to see that if a man woke up every day understanding with the understanding creative desires of Yahweh concerning him, what else could he wake up and think about? Let us go to the very foundation of the purpose of man. Watch what the Creator lets us know in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, where we will start. And I'm here to tell you, marriage, man, woman. There's nothing hard at all about these things. Nothing at all. 1 second. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 26th and 27th verse. And watch what this says. I may add that man was the last thing Yahweh will make. And Yahweh, all the way until the sixth day, to make man. And because, not because man was inferior or anything like that, but this will be his greatest creation. I know heaven and earth is great. There's no doubt. Light is great. And we can just go through all the various things that Yahweh made and make. But man is something that Yahweh would do for himself. This will be very, very personal. And this is what it says. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. So right now we can see very clearly, without mistake, that when Yahweh went to make man, he did it after his own image and after his own likeness. And what is an image? An image is a reflection of yourself. Whether you look in a mirror, or your shadow, or some type of replica of you, is your image. But what about your likeness? Well, your likeness is the very mind, heart, and spirit that you have behave in a way, in a manner in which you were created for. And since we were made and created in the likeness of Elohim, it simply means that our behavior and our manner and our rationale, how we rationalize things, should be like an Elohim. Where else would it come from? It won't. Our rationalization should not come from a beast or a creeping thing or some type of sea creature. No, that didn't make us. Elohim made us. And so, therefore, our likeness should be like theirs. How they would think, what they would do, the way they would go, this ain't likeness we have. It's on a lower level, but it's still there. But why would Yahweh Why would Elohim want us after his own? And why would he want us after his own likeness? What purpose do that serve? And what are we to do with this image, with this likeness that the Creator gave man? Are we just to act a fool? Are we just to do what we want? Are we just to make good or evil decisions as we see fit? Or did Yahweh intend, desire for us to do certain things, to be a certain way? Sure he did. And it lets you know exactly why Yahweh wanted us after his image and after his likeness. All you have to do is read the very next verse and watch what it says. And Elohim blessed them. Bless who? Man and woman. And watch what it says. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So what is the Creator saying here? What is Elohim saying? He gave us an image, which is after his. He gave us a likeness, which is also after his. And then he will have us to be fruitful. He will have us to multiply. And then he will have us to have dominion over every living thing on the earth. And the word dominion means to rule, to govern, to be responsible for. So Yahweh intended for us to be like him. In order for you to have a woman, she will have to be your wife. Which means that means you will have to be a husband. So Yahweh, since he's a husband, he intended on a man being a husband. And since Yahweh commanded us to multiply, that can only mean that Yahweh intended on us to be a father. So it's not surprising to know that Yahweh himself is a father. And how can you be a husband? How can you be a father and not be married? For Yahweh, who has a son, Yahweh, who is a husband, Yahweh is married. And so he intends for us. And why? Because we're made after his image as well as his likeness. This is what we're made and designed for. To be like him. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In other words, what is our purpose as a man? Are we fulfilling the intended reasons, purpose, desires of Yahweh. Watch what it says. Genesis 5 and 1 is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim, made he him. Man, I made you in my image. Man, I made you after my own likeness. Why? So you look like me, behave like me, think like me, walk like me, and be a husband, to be a father, and to be married. The earth. And what's so difficult about this obligation and this responsibility? There's nothing difficult about this. It appears. And watch what it says. Second verse. Male and female created he them and blessed them. Their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image. Now, when you want that for your son, in other words, you had a son, he was after your image, and your son was after your likeness. Well, the only reason your son is after your image and your son is after your likeness because you're after your father's image. You're after your father's likeness. And who is your father? Yahweh. That's who your father is. And now you got something just like Yahweh, a son after your own image and after your own likeness, and called his name self. And you cannot have this. You don't even supposed to have this outside of the likeness that Yahweh will hand down to you. Because if you have Yahweh likeness, Yahweh is married. And so should you. Yahweh is a father. And so should you be. And Yahweh is a husband. And there are certain steps a man has to take to become these things. And anything else is outside of the order, the likeness, as well as the image of Yahweh. Because Yahweh, this is the only, Yahweh right things. He intend on things being right. What are you made for? What are you designed to do? What is all the confusion about? There shouldn't be any confusion. The sun and moon and stars are not fighting for no supremacy. Who's right and wrong? Who's the greatest or the lesser? Yahweh has already made that crystal clear, that purpose. Just like Yahweh has made our purpose crystal clear. Why is this in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter? In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, starting at the very first verse, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. No different than Adam. Why? Because Yahweh intended on this. This was his desires were for his sons. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I acquire, and at the hand of man, the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheds man blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And why? For in the image of Elohim made he man. And you be you fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Very simple, straight to the point instructions. And Yahweh never deviated from these things. Yahweh never said anything that would contradict the very essence, the very root, the very meaning, the very foundation of what man should do and be. And particularly his sons. But man went astray and man will fall. And let me tell you, let me show you how man will fall. But right before I show you how man will fall, and the instrument that Yahweh will use to test his sons, because Yahweh always wanted loyalty. He always wanted your whole heart. And why? Because he made you. Why? Because he created you. Because you are his sons. And so Yahweh wanted you to understand the perfection in which you needed to be like him. And he didn't want you being like anyone else. And he would test to see if you would divert the likeness that he endowed in you. And would you become like someone else, even though he's your father, even though he's your husband, even though he's married to you. He wanted to see if you would deviate. But would you be steadfast And let me show you how the true, if you want to describe how a man supposed to rule Yahweh's kingdom as a father, as a husband, and one that is married. Watch what this says in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. In the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, this is what it says. And what we are discussing, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And little do people know those very words right there had an intended purpose, a reason. And you can't bypass the purpose in which you were intended to do. How can you bypass that? You didn't create yourself. And watch what it says. 2 Samuel 23:1. Now, these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of Elohim of Yaakov, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. Let's see what these last words had to say. The Elohim of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. And watch what this rock said. He that rules over men must be just. The word just means righteous. He's got to be righteous. Ruling in the fear of Elohim. Well, how do that look? Well, let me show you. And he shall be as the light of the morning. And we know what the light bring. The light bring the law. The light brings warmth and heat. The light enables you to see things. The light is where one, the scriptures talk about life. The light was sown for the righteous. Yahweh said, let there be light. And there was light. And he saw that the light was good. So the light is good in of itself. And Yahweh wants the man to be as the light of the morning. He wants the husband to be as the light of the morning. He's looking for the married to be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even a morning without clouds. In other words, nothing in his way, nothing blocking it, no obstruction at all. As the tender grass bringing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. This is what a man that rules supposed to be about. This is how he's supposed to conduct himself, behave himself, being in an image and a likeness of Yahweh. And how often should he be this way? Well, every morning. The light come every morning. The sun rises every day. So a man don't even have an excuse to operate in this fashion every day. And when do he start acting like this? Well, I like him in the morning. When the day begins. This is how Yahweh intend on anyone that rules. And what do you think a husband do? Yeah, he's a ruler. What do you think a father is? He's a ruler. And what do you think when he marries a wife? In other words, he becomes her master. He has to operate as the light. But man fell. And he only has one to blame for his fall. And it's himself. Every day he falls, he only has one to blame. And it's himself. Because Yahweh made him in his image and after his likeness. And all one have to do. And let me tell you this, sisters, because we spent a couple days talking about your purpose. But if you have any question at all in whether man is in the image and the likeness of Elohim, shouldn't have no bearing on you. But if you do have a question for any man, it's only two questions that need to be asked. Is this the image and the likeness of our Elohim that you are exhibiting? Is this Elohimly? This how the Elohim's rationalize? This is how the Elohim's conduct themselves? This is how the Elohim's, this is how the image in which they will demonstrate? That's all you got to do is ask these very important questions. And yes, man fell. And let me show you the instrument that Yahweh will use in the fall of man. And I may add, man only has one to blame for his fall, for his shortcomings, for his inadequacies, and it's himself. Yahweh made you perfect. But how you will go about executing your intended purpose is on you. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Here it is. Yahweh made him a son after his own image and after his own likeness. And what do you want for your son? You want him to have someone in his own image and his own likeness. And you can't get none of these things without being a husband, a father, and married. And watch this in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to go right to the fall, the 17th verse. And to Adam, he said, first thing he asked Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, is the ground for your sake, In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. And you notice Yahweh said, look, you hearken to the voice of your wife. You listen to the voice of your wife. And why would Yahweh say that? Because watch what happens so you can understand what this is saying. Because oftentimes, men will go to these scriptures to show some type of inadequacy in a woman. This don't show her inadequacies. This show his. This don't show her rebellion. This show his rebellion. Watch this. In a book of Genesis, the third chapter was still there, the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And what do that mean? What do the word subtile mean? In other words, there was no beast more cunning, more of a trickster, more of someone that can deceive than the serpent. And who did he prey on? The woman. But why prey on her? Because he knew she had secondhand information. She didn't get it direct. So now I can manipulate her and doing my will. I can trick her. I can manipulate her. I can bamboozle her as he did. Bamboozle, tricked, and manipulated Adam. Nobody. This man wasn't tricked at all. He wasn't bamboozled. He wasn't manipulated. All he did was rebel. But at least she was tricked. Although she knew the truth, she still was deceived. And watch what it says. We'll go right down a verse. And they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Why he called him first? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. In other words, she didn't trick him. She didn't deceive him. She didn't plot against him. He just disobeyed Yahweh. As a matter of fact, she wasn't even around when Yahweh commanded him. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. 16th verse. We'll start at the 15th verse. And Yahweh Elohim took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help mate for him. In other words, she wasn't even around when I don't receive the commandment of Yahweh. And what did this do? Let me show you what this did, going back to Genesis, the third chapter, because I just want you to see what this ultimately did to man. 17 verse again. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Now you got to work your tail off. Whereas before you had it easy, but now the ground is cursed because of you, and now you got to work your tail off. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And now, before it was bringing forth good things, now the good things are being strangled by the bad things. And it's your job to not allow that to happen if you want to eat. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. In other words, every day now you're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to remember what you did every day. Don't you go out there and you bend down and you start pulling up these thorns and thistles, pricking your hands, messing up your nice hands every day. Just know you're doing this because you disobeyed me. You're doing this because you listened to someone other than me. You're doing this because you forgot that you are in an image and the likeness of Elohim. Watch what it says. Sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and dust shall you return. In other words, and after all your work is done, you're going to die. This is what happens to man as a result of forsaking Yahweh. Not remembering his intended purpose. For he made us in his image and after his likeness. Watch what it says. Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh Elohim make coats of skin and clothe them. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and taste also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, because of this great sin, because of the forsaking of Yahweh, Yahweh said, look, this path that I gave him to the tree of life, now we got to block it. Now we got to ban him and get him off this path. And that's a terrible thing when you're on the path of life and then how we take you off the trail. And many men today are taken off this trail. And why? Because they listen to someone else. And in this case, their wife instead of Yahweh. Watch what it says. 23rd verse. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. In other words, he lost that good job that he had in the Garden of Eden. He done lost his job. He done lost his life. He done lost where he live. And now he got to work like a dog. Therefore, Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, he was blocked from it. Who want to be blocked from the tree of life? And why? This all came down to one thing and one thing only. Man, don't eat from this tree. You can eat from everything else, but don't eat from this tree. And Yahweh says, since you listen to your wife, and you are the husband, you are the father, you're the master. That's what I made you. I made you after my image and after my likeness. There was no reason for you to be tricked. If you was unsure about something, all you had to do was call me. I'm your father. But no, he did not. And this is what you're going to find. That there's nothing new in the sun. This has always been man's test to see if truly he will be a son after the image and the likeness of Yahweh, of Elohim. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, that was out. Now, who will be the instrument of destruction in Genesis, the 6th? Chapter. And watch this. And it came to pass, the very first verse, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, as Yahweh wanted. Yahweh wanted sons and daughters. But watch what happened. That the sons of Elohim, these are his sons, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. In other words, now this thing is getting a little backwards. This thing getting a little ornery and awkward. Why would Yahweh's sons take the daughters of men? Or the Elohim, or the sons of Elohim take the daughters of men. Why would they do such a thing like that? This ain't talking about angels. You know it ain't talking about angels, because then you will see in the third verse that Yahweh reduced their life expectancy. And why? Watch what it says in the third verse. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm tired of fighting with man. I told him he's in my image. I let him know he's after my likeness. So he should know how to walk. He should know how he look and how to behave. And he should understand that he to produce the same thing I produce for him. A son after his own image and a son after his own likeness. But not so with us. We will just get any daughter that we so choose, and these children that we're raising oftentimes is not after the image and the likeness of Elohim. You see some of these kids out here, and you say, my goodness, man, this is not like Yahweh. This is not like Elohim. This is not the image in which the Most High wanted the earth to see. Elohim didn't give this beautiful earth into the hand of something that looked like this and act like this. And who fought that? Well, his sons. Because it's his sons that took wives of all that they chose. So my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So man went from living to 900 and something years, all the way down to 120 years. And then Yahweh would even reduce it further than that. Because he's not going to struggle. He's not going to keep striving with man who refused to honor, to sanctify him. And how do you sanctify and honor him? You produce what he produced. He produced a son after his own image and after his own likeness. And what in the world do he want you to produce? The same thing. And if you after the image and likeness of Elohim, then why wouldn't your son be the only one that can intervene and make that the thing that is straight crooked is Yahweh himself? Then you are cleared. But make no mistake at all. It is your responsibility. Yahweh intended on you being a husband. He intended on you being a father. He intended on you being married. Then why aren't you walking in the image and the likeness of Elohim? Why aren't you like the light of the morning when the sun rises, ruling in the fear of Elohim? Why? What excuse could there be? You, his son. At least you're supposed to be. Well, not just Adam. Watch what it says. Here we're reading the sons of Elohim. They had the same problem Adam had. They would allow their same desires to divert them from the image and the likeness that they were designed to uphold. And the very thing Yahweh will use is the closest and most dearest thing to him, the very thing that came from him, his wife, his woman. And it's not her fault, because all the man had to do, all the husband had to do, all the father had to do is what's right. Watch what it says. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also that there were, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of Enya, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men which were old, men of renown. And when Yahweh seen this thing, watch what he said. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I made them. In other words, man, sometimes you look at the very thing that come from you and you say, my goodness, this don't look nothing like me. This don't act nothing like me. Well, that's what Yahweh seen. That's what he began to see. So terrible that it corrupted everything. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Why is a man created? What is he made for? What is he made to do? He made to uphold the image and the likeness of Elohim. And anything short of that is short of fulfilling your purpose. It's short of fulfilling the will of the Most High. And you can't say you didn't have the abilities because you made in his image and you made after his likeness. So he gave you everything you needed to have a son in your image and after your likeness to reproduce the very thing that he gave you. Do you look like him? Do you act like him? And when we read the scriptures, you can rest assured we don't look nothing and act like nothing as it's holy and righteous and just as Elohim. Look what he says. Not only the sons of Elohim there. Everywhere I look, I'm finding the same thing. For example, we look at Adam, and who was he? The first man. Then we looked at the sons of Elohim. And the sons of Elohim, as a result of Elohim's sons, the whole earth was destroyed by a flood. And Yahweh would use one family, one man, to redo everything. We read that in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter with Noah. But watch this. In the book of 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, because I just want you to continue to see how this dilemma has always plagued us. But we got to get it right because Yahweh only choosing a remnant. And undoubtedly, we're not taking serious our responsibility. We're not taking serious the very blessing and gift that Elohim gave us. We don't value our maker, our creator, and the creative intentions they have for us. Watch what I mean. This is in the book of 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. And watch what it says, the very first verse. Now, in the 18th year of King Jehoram, the son of Nebat, reigned in Banyan over Yehuda. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to walk in the sins of his father, but he did. And you'll very seldom and rarely see, and he walked in all the sins of his mother. You won't see that. Very rarely. But it would say he walked in all the sins of his father. And why? Who do you think? Image and likeness he upheld his father. And watch what it says. And his heart was not perfect with Yahweh his Elohim, as the heart of David his father. His heart was not perfect. David's heart. And Yahweh made it crystal clear that David's heart was perfect. As a matter of fact, Yahweh said, David, he said he sought a man after his own heart. And the next man that was anointed that Yahweh sought was King David. This is how perfect David was. But in all David perfection, let me show you what would even happen to him. And watch this. Nevertheless, the fourth verse. For David's sake did Yahweh his Elohim give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh and turned not aside anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. This is how perfect this man was, with one exception. With the exception, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. All right, since this man only did one thing that we need to concern ourselves with, what was the matter of Uriah the Hittite? And this is what we find, that David slept with another man's wife. Here it is. Adam listened to his wife. Now, was it Eve's fault? No, it was Adam's fault. The sons of Elohim chose them wives of all that they desired. And Yahweh looked at it and said, man, the wickedness of man is great. And whose fault was that? Was it the women? No, it was the sons of Elohim. And here's a man after Yahweh's heart. And the one thing that Yahweh will let us know, the one thing, is that this man went after another man's wife. What kind of mess is that? This is the king of Israel. This is a man after Yahweh's heart. Surely he knew that he was in the image and the likeness of Elohim. Everything he did all the days of his life. Was perfect. He followed Yahweh. And the scripture said he turned aside. What did he say? He turned aside. He turned not aside anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except for that one thing. A woman. And was it Bathsheba's fault? No, it wasn't her fault. It was David's fault. It was Adam's fault. It was the sons of Elohim's fault. But not just them. Watch this. Since we're in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. I'll show you. David fell. The sons of Elohim fell. Adam failed. And so did this man also. In the book of 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, the very first verse. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Here it is. The wisest man on earth, the wisest man that ever lived. There was no man that had more wisdom than this man before him. And Yahweh said there will be none after him. This man knew things no man can know. That's how much wisdom he had. But this king, Solomon, loved many strange women. How can you be so wise, but then this be your state of mind? Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. In other words, none of these people Solomon was supposed to be with. None of these women Solomon was supposed to marry. None of these women Solomon was to do anything with. Second verse. Of the nations concerning which Yahweh said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely turn away your heart after other gods. And Solomon clung to these in love. Now, is it the women's fault? No, it's not their fault. It's Solomon's fault. It is Solomon who disobeyed Yahweh. It's the sons of Elohim who disobeyed Yahweh. It's Adam who disobeyed Yahweh. What, we thought we wouldn't be tested? We thought we wasn't going to be proved to see what type of son we really are? Watch the third verse. And he had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines. God turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, Elohims. And his heart was not perfect with Yahweh, his Elohim, as was the heart of David, his father. And we see what took David down. And David went fully after Yahweh and still allowed the very thing that brought our former parents, former fathers, rather, down to the ground. And I'm going to show you why the wisest man that ever lived failed. I'll show you why after Yahweh's own heart failed. I'm going to show you why man that was made and created failed. And I'm going to show you why the sons of Elohim failed. And I'm going to show you why men today fail. Same issue, problem, disease, and weakness. And it's in the book of Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. And watch what it says. 28th and the 29th verse. And watch what it says. And Yahweh heard the voice of your words. When you spoke to me, and Yahweh said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which have spoken to you. They have well said all that they have spoken. What did they say? Let not Yahweh speak to us, lest we be consumed and die. But watch the 29th verse. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me, my commandments, always, that it might be well with them and with the children forever. See, because we're made after the image and the likeness of Elohim, little do men know what that really means is we're going to have a certain type of heart. And this heart that Yahweh gave us and wanted us to diligently guard. And that's what the scriptures say. It says diligently guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. And this is the very thing that a man don't guard. He'll hear something, or he'll see something, or he'll smell something, or you feel something, or you walk somewhere he don't supposed to be, but somehow, some way, it will get to his heart, through his mouth, through his ears, through his eyes, or even through his spirit. It will get to his heart. Whether it's good or whether it's evil. And one of the best advice that was ever given one in the scriptures, the very best advice, the most important advice, the wisest advice that I've ever read in the scriptures didn't come from Solomon. Didn't come from Moses. It came from a woman. And this what her advice was. And you'll read it in the book of Proverbs 31. And watch this advice. Imagine a man keeping this advice, hearkening to this advice, adhering to the advice. And watch what it is. Proverbs 31 and 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother told him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? And watch this third verse. Give not your strength unto woman, nor your ways, kings. And here it is. The very strength of a man. The most important thing about a man. And the one thing that Yahweh wanted you to have. And that's a strong heart toward him. Why do you think the scripture said, I would that there was such a heart in them to fear me. Because that's where you must fear Yahweh in your heart. And here's this woman said, don't even give your strength unto women. Your strength, brothers and men or husbands and fathers and masters, your strength is your heart. And when you give your heart unto a woman, as David did, as Solomon did, as Adam did, as the sons of Elohim did, you're going to fall. Your heart belongs to Yahweh and Yahweh only. Why do you think Yahweh said, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. Your heart belongs to Yahweh. And any part of it that you give to anyone else, including your wife, you're going to fall. And we have failed. Not because of her. Not because of it. Not because of that. We have failed because of us. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.